the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, Deke shoots, Star! A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Rebound comes back the other way. Here comes Caulfield with the Sharks line. Caulfield moving in, stick handling, dishing, shooting, score! An absolutely world-class shot by Cole Caulfield up top to get it past Alexander Georgiev. Disappointment reigns on the Sharks bench as they stream off to head to the locker room. Final score, Montreal 4, San Jose 3 in overtime. The second consecutive overtime loss on this road trip, and Cole Caulfield gets the goal that was needed. But on the other side of the ice, Samuel Montembeau with a couple of gigantic saves in overtime. A big key to it, stopping Zetterlund just before that goal.
Just getting to keep putting ourselves in this situation, you know, and that's one thing is, you know, we're in games, we're competing. You know, I think we've done some really good things, did some really good things tonight, had chances to win the hockey game. But we got to keep being in these situations.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Tell me if you have heard this one before. The San Jose Sharks are in a tight game in the third period, either tied or in the lead, and they don't walk away with 2 points when all is said and done. That is the story of the season at this point. I think everyone should know that more than Macklin Celebrini, more than Will Smith, more than Yaroslav Askarov, the story of the San Jose Sharks in 2024-2025 is how close they are to winning, yet not being able to win the tight games. They have been now, what, in like 26, 27 tight games? I mean, you're talking about 26 more points on the season if they win half of those games, and that pretty much puts them in the playoff picture as a wild card team. You win 10 of those, you're in the picture as, you know, fighting for a wild card spot. You win the majority of those, like a good team would, and you're a good team. But the Sharks right now are not, quote-unquote, a good team. They are a learning team. And to Ryan Warsawski's point there, as we came in, the only way the Sharks are going to figure this out is by continuing to put themselves in this situation. And by this situation, in air quotes there, I just did those with my fingers, you can't see me, that means they have to continue being in games. That means they have to continue giving themselves a shot, giving themselves a chance. That's what this comes down to. And they're doing that. That's a big step forward from where they were a year ago, or a season ago, more accurately. But they're not finding ways to win. And finding ways to win in the NHL is paramount. I can't say that enough, nor can we deny what we have seen. The Sharks have continually found ways to lose. And I'm not saying that in the sense that like they're just stumbling over themselves, but they're not finding ways to win. They're not finding ways to give themselves a buffer. I mean, you look in Winnipeg, you have a 1-0 lead and you don't build upon it. That's not a recipe for success. Or last night's game, you know, you have a lead early on, and then the second goal or the first goal that you give up is a turnover. And, you know, a lot of those goals were preventable plays. And I think that that's just the Sharks just showing how relatively inexperienced they are, which is unfortunate. And I would hope that in a year's time, they are a much better team, but they had their opportunities. And in this one, they even get 3 goals, which is, you know, the best they've had so far in this road trip, because they lost 3-2 in Calgary. They lost 2-1 in Winnipeg, and last night they lose 4-3 against Montreal, but they had a chance, right? Like, they were up 3-2 entering the third period, and they gave up a game-tying goal relatively early in the third, so there was plenty of time for them to respond, but they didn't. It goes overtime, and then Cole Caulfield scores and gives Montreal the win. I mean, this is a script that we have seen over and over this year. And, you know, it used to be earlier in the year you could pinpoint these a little bit more, but now it just feels like the overwhelming majority of games. I mean, all 3 games of this road trip so far have been tight, tight losses. Now, that is relatively encouraging in the sense that you're not getting blown out, but you're not winning, right? I mean, a 4-3 overtime loss last night, a 2-1 overtime loss Monday night, a 3-2 tight loss on Sunday. Then we go back to before the break, okay? Let's go before the break. Yes, there was the 8-3 loss to a titan of a team in Dallas right now, but there was a 2-1 overtime loss to Vancouver. There was a 4-3 loss to Montreal. Then we go back to the month of January. I mean, guys, it's relatively, you know, just amazing. You had the 6-2 loss to Seattle. That was a bad night. But then you had a 2-1 win, a tight win over Pittsburgh. Their last win, by the way, a 7-2 loss to Florida, a 6-5 loss to the Preds, a 7-5 loss to the Preds. You had that 6-3 loss to Boston, in which they were up in the third period. I mean, you just keep on going back over all these games. The 3-1 loss to Minnesota, 2-1 to Utah, 4-2 to Vegas. I mean, it's just defined by these tight losses. There are occasional blowouts. Like I said, the 7-2 loss to Florida, the 6-2 loss to Seattle, the 8-3 loss to Dallas. These are still in the Sharks game. I'm not saying they're a turned-around team, but for the most part, we're just talking about what I would call not crippling losses, but defeating losses. And I mean that they defeat you from a mental standpoint. Like, we know it's a defeat. I'm not trying to be that. Well, maybe I am that stupid. But these and the mental toll they're taking over time with San Jose, hopefully it's setting them up for success in the near future. Because, you know, I thought Alex Wenberg played a great game last night. I thought Colin Graf played a great game last night. I thought that Will Smith played a great game last night. I thought that Macklin Celebrini played a great game last night. Like, you had young players, you had motivated players, you had veterans, you had the Sharks playing a pretty good game, albeit with a few flaws, but I'll take that pretty good performance, especially from the young guys. Now, all year long, we have watched Macklin Celebrini look like a stud, but Colin Graf, he just keeps on getting better and better, and he's doing it in short order, and I look forward to a future where he is a big part of what San Jose is trying to do. His work rate is solid. That move he made to set up the goal to Sturm, that was some sick stick handling, great skating, great vision, great movement. That is exactly what Colin Graf is capable of doing, and I love it. I mean, I just love that guy's game since the moment they got him last year. You could see the potential, and I thought to myself, again, I made this comparison, which is probably unfair, but his game reminds me of it, but his intelligence and his work rate, particularly on the defensive side, lets me know that he has raw, incredible ability, and it reminds me of Logan Couture. It reminds me of his vision, of his work rate. I mean, the offensive upside of Logan Couture, I think that's hard to put on any young player, because even when Logan was coming up, you didn't know that he was going to turn into that good of a player. But he was also coming up with a much better Shark squad. But right now, when you watch a player like Colin Graf, you see the future. You see what he can turn into. Same story with Will Smith. Will Smith, again, he and Macklin Celebrini are the two best rookies in the NHL over the last 10 games. You know, just point after point after point. You know, Will Smith, another 2-point game last night, a goal and an assist. He just continues to get it done. I mean, I can't get over how good his overall game is. He just looks continually like a guy who will be a difference maker for the future. And I think that that is what you want these guys to be, clearly. But when he moves in on that goal, you know, he's just calmly looking around up the left wing, moving towards the circle, and you don't know when he's going to rip that shot. That release is so quick. And it's not, you know, some huge put, you know, both cheeks into it slap shot. He's just coming in, and then it's snipe, snipe. Will Smith, I don't know why people were so critical of him earlier this year. Well, I've told you why. He's not Macklin Celebrini, but now he is getting better and better overall with every passing game. His defense is looking better. He's turning into the player that we all thought he was capable of being, and he is just, he's good, guys. He's very, very good. He's the second youngest Shark at 19 years, 347 days to score a goal in Montreal. The youngest was Patty Marleau, who did it at 18 years and 70 days back in November of 1997. Sharks goalies, by the way, have an .885 save percentage when tied or leading in the third. That's just the 30th in the NHL. It's from our good friend Darren Stevens, the stat whiz extraordinaire. Yeah, I mean, you're just watching the Sharks have absolutely phenomenal performances from their young players, only to be let down in certain situations in others. I don't put everything on the goalie. The save percentage is a flawed number. It doesn't tell you the entire story, but you know, that's when the goalies need to rise. That's when everybody needs to be better. And, you know, Vitek Vanacek giving up the first goal of the game with 27 seconds left on a very screened play, that's not on him. It's going to reflect in the save percentage, though. And there have been other moments like that. Or, you know, when you're dealing with a, you know, 6-on-5 situation against Edmonton late in the game and they score. You know, those are the moments, though, in the future where the Sharks need to be able to rise up, where they need to be able to find themselves in a more winnable situation, just because holding on to leads, protecting tie games, it's been a problem all year long. And I think we all expected this team to not be great, but I don't think we expected them to be quite like this in the sense that they would lose all these close games. And yes, it is improvement over the blowouts they were previously suffering. I'm not going to deny that. But it's not improvement in the sense that they're winning the games that they should be able to win. You know, they have 15 wins this year. They started off with a near double-digit losing streak to start the year. They're on quite a losing streak right now. It doesn't get any easier, by the way, as they head into the month of March. So we just take a brief look at the schedule. They're at Ottawa, at Toronto, at Buffalo, at Colorado before they get back home a week from tomorrow. So they've got their work cut out for them. There's no doubt about that. But for San Jose right now, you know, it's putting the two areas together where it's like, yeah, you can be in these tight games. You can play tight all the way to the finish. You need to finish. You can play well for 59 minutes and 33 seconds of hockey. But what happens in those final 27 seconds? Or what happens in the final 20 minutes overall when you do have a lead carried into the third period? You know, it's the same story over and over and over. The Sharks take a lead into the third period. They don't win. And I'm not trying to be glib. I'm not trying to be flippant. But literally, it's the same story over and over and over. The Sharks take a lead into the third period, and they lose. The third period is the story. The third period and their inability to hold on to leads is the point of rectification a year from now. If they do that next year, they're going to be a playoff team. And I'm not just saying that to be excited or be hyperbolic. I mean, literally, if we look at their close wins this year, if they win just a majority of them, let's say 14 out of those 27, that's a team that's in, or at least giving themselves a damn good shot. All right, let's get into the breakdown of this game. It was Fabian Zetterlund striking first to give San Jose the lead.
16:15 left, scoreless first period. Teams are changing efficiently here. As on the ice now, it's Wennberg throwing it ahead. Will Smith racing for it. In the offensive zone, he turns away from the check, throws it side of the goal. They score! Fabian Zetterlund on a brilliant feed from Will Smith. Right side of the goal. Sharks 1, Canadiens nothing.
And this is why it was such a great game last night, even in spite of the Sharks walking away with just 1 point. But every time one team had a goal, the other team answered. And obviously that was Montreal, but it was Nick Suzuki who tied it up just a few minutes later, making it a 1-1 game. And then we get into the second period. It's Nico Sturm off an incredible feed and bit of skating from Colin Graf that gives the Sharks a 2-1 lead.
Clean Costin. Hits his man on the far side of the ice. That was Alexander Carrier. Back in the Sharks' zone, Colin Graf picks up and flips ahead. Costin stick handles. Leads for Graf. Moves down the right. Nice little stick handling move. Cuts into the zone. Centering feed. Score! Nico Sturm, after a brilliant stick handling play by Colin Graf, gets the Sharks in front 2-1. 7:22 left in the first.
Nick Suzuki with his second goal of the night would answer late in the first period, a wild first period, four goals, and 19:04, he makes it 2-2. Then we get into the second period. Will Smith, with his ninth of the year, assisted by Shakir Mukhmudulin and Alex Wennberg, a 3-2 San Jose lead.
Off the faceoff now, controlled by the Sharks. Mukhmudulin sends it ahead, 2-on-1 developing. Here's Will Smith moving in, shooting it, he scores! Will Smith stick handling into the offensive zone and snapping it past Montembeau with 2:38 to go in the second period. He said he was due and he gets one. Will Smith makes it the Sharks 3 and the Canadiens 2.
So we go into the third period now. The Sharks have a 3-2 lead. It didn't take long for Alex Newhook to tie it 3-3. Now the Sharks in the third period, they had some not great penalties called against them, in my opinion, but they did hold on. They did give themselves a chance. They had some great kills. It goes overtime, and this is, again, where Cole Caulfield gets the goal to give Montreal the win.
Rebound comes back the other way. Here comes Caulfield with the Sharks line. Caulfield moving in, stick handling, dishing, shooting, score! An absolutely world-class shot by Cole Caulfield up top to get it past Alexander Georgiev. Disappointment reigns on the Sharks bench as they stream off to head to the locker room. Final score, Montreal 4, San Jose 3 in overtime. The second consecutive overtime loss on this road trip, and Cole Caulfield gets the goal that was needed. But on the other side of the ice, Samuel Montembeau with a couple of gigantic saves in overtime, a big key to it stopping Zetterlund just before that goal.
Again, an absolutely amazing game that really we were in for a treat last night when that game turned into that. I mean, I thought it'd be fun, and I would love if that was our Stanley Cup final in like 3 years from now between these two teams. But yeah, it's more pain. It's more pain for the San Jose Sharks to end up on the wrong side of another hard, well-fought game and just not walk away with the wins. And I've been saying this for years now, literally, and you can go back. I have the receipts on the older Morning Tides. The hardest thing for athletes is for the work they've put in to go unrewarded. Like, that was a good effort last night. That was a good effort in Winnipeg. It was a good effort in Calgary. They're not walking away with wins. That weighs on you. That weighs on players. Hopefully, it serves as motivation. I know that Alex Wennberg said he was going to go into last night's game pissed off, and I think he played an angry, pissed off game. The Sharks need more angry, pissed off efforts if they're going to walk away with a win, especially going into Ottawa on Saturday. All right, we're going to get into some of this post-game sound, and then I do have an interview with Henry Thrun. Hope he's all right, by the way. He did leave the game last night with an injury, but we talked to him on Wednesday. He always has some great thoughts, and we talked a little bit about Beanpot and some smack talk between the guys on the team. But let's hear from Nico Sturm after last night's game.
I think the one thing we haven't done all the year is score another goal, either when we're, you know, when we're up or when the game's tied, to score another goal and put you know, a 2-goal lead, 3-goal lead. That's what we haven't done. Those the games usually take the same route. We're up or we're tied, and probably didn't get very lucky with the momentum because we had a bunch of penalty kill in the third. That's kind of tough, but the next step is to score that extra goal to get that 2-goal lead, that 3-goal lead. That's what we got to do. Yeah.
That's what they have to do, and unfortunately, they have not been able to do that. Building upon those leads has not been a part of their DNA, and that comes down to talent, and that comes down to youth and relative inexperience. And it's hopefully the biggest turnaround from next year because Nico Sturm is well aware how different their season could potentially have been.
Of course, I said it this morning, I think we had 25 of those games this year where, you know, they're being decided by one goal or an empty netter. You do the math on 25 games, you win half, maybe grab another few points in overtime, you're in a whole different world in the standings. That's what the teams that play for playoffs right now and are going to be in playoffs eventually are able to do, and we haven't been able to do that this year. That is the next step. Yeah,
it is the next step, and hopefully a part of that process in the next step is the continued play of Henry Thrun, who I think keeps on getting better and better as a young player himself. I spoke with him on Wednesday, and I asked him about checking out Montreal, getting a walk in, and checking out some of the cool history.
Yeah, I walked around a little bit yesterday and last time we were here, and there's definitely good vibe to the city. Got some good tradition, and it's definitely a fun place to visit. I don't know too much about the history, but it's a fun spot to grab dinner and have an off day in.
Yeah, the food up there is incredible. I also think the funny thing is if you go to a Starbucks in the Bay Area, you'll see like non-fat milk, 2% milk, almond milk, all those things, and then the Starbucks right by the hotel I've been to in Montreal, I think they have like heavy cream and that's it. Like, it's like, All right, we're
getting right to it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Love it, man. Well, let me ask you this because I've been looking, everyone was talking about the Four Nations and I want to ask you that in a second, but do you always pay attention to the Beanpot, even though you're out of college now and you're focused on your own career? do you always check in and, you know, try and watch the highlights and, you know, get some insights from your boys that are still at Harvard?
Yeah, I do. Obviously, there's still a group of guys there that I played with and I'm good friends with. So still watching the games and following along. And even to when those guys that I play with are gone, I'm sure it'll be something that I continue to follow. I mean, I started watching when I was probably, 10 years old. So, and still am watching it to this day. So I imagine it'll be a lifelong kind of event in my life.
I know that Will and Macklin had, some betting on sweater wearing and such. Do you guys all just talk a good amount of S to each other when it gets to be that time of the year?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty competitive. Ironically, Northeastern has kind of had the upper hand on everyone in the past couple of years. And we, now that we lost Matt Benning, we don't have any Northeastern guys anymore. So, it's been an interesting past couple of years watching that tournament. So right now, no one's really got the upper hand. And obviously, Harvard didn't win it this year, which is unfortunate, but I got faith in them every year.
Nice, man. Did you watch much of the Four Nations tournament?
I did. Yeah. I did. It was some incredible hockey. And I think it was unbelievable for the game as well. Especially in the U.S. I had friends and buddies that, don't necessarily watch hockey that were texting me and calling me about the game, trying to figure out what was going on. So, firsthand, I saw kind of drawing fans in and attracting new audiences, which was pretty unique to see. So as a player, it was awesome to see, and it was some pretty high level hockey. And as a fan, it was also really exciting to watch.
Yeah. Would you like to see more of that emphasis on the international hockey? I know they're trying to bring back the World Cup of Hockey and stuff, but I feel like international competition is a great way to get fans, and just like you alluded to, it draws in new audiences.
Yeah, 100%. It's I think there's a good layout and kind of groundwork built for the next handful of years here to get international best on best back on the map and have some events sort of locked in to have guys that can look forward to it and have fans as well, kind of build some excitement around it. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It's obviously we all want to compete at the highest level. And, a lot of us growing up have played in those tournaments and had the chance to play best on best. And now to, have the NHL guys be able to go do it and see the absolute best of the best, it is pretty cool. And it's something that I think is great for the game and will continue to only get better and just be a great product on the ice for everyone.
Besides watching hockey, both collegiate and international, what else did you do with your time off during the break?
I went to Hawaii, went there for the first time, being from the East Coast, it's definitely not a popular or traditional vacation spot.
You guys go to Florida.
Yeah, Florida, Europe, kind of stay over on our side of the coast. So it was, being over here, I really wanted to get the chance to go to Hawaii, and I had heard a lot of great reviews from other guys, and when I had the chance, I wanted to go do it. So it was a blast, and we had a great time while we were there.
Was it just low key, I guess? Did you do anything to try and take care of your body? I know that Toffoli said that he was in Hawaii, played a little pickleball, but I imagine just the emphasis on getting yourself, healthy and healed during that time is important, but I don't know. I mean, maybe you hit the weight room. What did you do?
Yeah, that's something as a younger player I'm just trying to figure out and kind of fiddle around with year to year. Last year I spent I was rehabbing an injury and spent every day in a gym, which honestly I this year I tried to pull back from a little bit just to try to get a little of a mental break. Definitely took a kind of 2-3 days to just doing absolutely nothing and kind of getting away, and then from there, just, some workouts and getting some sweats in just to kind of keep the body moving, gain some strength back while we had time. But it's definitely something, early on in my career, trying to figure out what's the best sort of routine for me during that time off each year.
Just because it's such an extended break, did your body just feel amazing coming back to San Jose and getting practicing going again? Because it's rare that during a season you guys get that much time off.
Yeah, I think at this time of year, I think everyone's dealing with some sort of ailment or injury. So, physically, you get it to the best place you can, considering it's the middle of a long season. But I think more importantly, it's just mentally kind of being cleared and ready to go. You know, it's obviously a long grinding season, and to get away for even a week just kind of gets a little more jump in your step when you get back to the rink every day.
And just in terms of, you know, building into your career, I can't remember if it was Calgary or Winnipeg, but I saw you take a pretty good hit. And same thing with Will Smith. But with you, when you got up, you almost looked like you kind of laughed at it. Well, that was that. Like you almost like brushed it off. I thought, I was like, man, he just acted like, you almost seemed like happy about it.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Definitely not happy about it, but it was, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I appreciate the physical side of hockey and think it's valuable. And unfortunately I was on the worst end of it there. But, you know, thought it was a clean hit, got up and kind of shook it off and felt fine. So just ready to go, kind of gets you into the game and go from there. So, you know, it's definitely don't want that happening every night. But as I said, I appreciate the physical side of the game. And, you know, if it happens to me, then you try to shake it off and hopefully I deliver more of those than take.
Yeah, I have to imagine that there's probably a side of you as you're popping back down the ice, you're like, oh, I got to go deliver one of those myself. But you can't stay focused on that. You got to go right back into the game. And then I guess if you do get a chance to return the favor, then if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you keep it in your mind to try to, you know, send a message back that you're there to fight and compete. But you definitely can't let it kind of detract from your game. So, again, just trying to find the balance and recognizing certain spots to do things like that or to pull back. So it's just kind of things you learn as a younger player in the league.
I saw an advanced metric the other day that was showing where you were in terms of when you were on the ice and offensive generation, and you were well above average. Do you pay attention to the metrics? Do you go and look at these things during the season, or do you just kind of pull back and pay attention to, you know, goals, assists, and wins?
Yeah, no, I honestly don't even understand most of the metrics that sometimes come across and that I run into. I know that there's people that value them, and that's I don't think there's a right or wrong way to look at it. I'm not super into it. I think there's applicable ones, obviously, like whether you say it's goals, assists, you know, hits, blocks, giveaways, things like that. When we get into the expected goals and the expected Corsi, I don't even know what, I truly don't know what they mean. So I'm sure there's some that I'm good at, and I'm sure there's some that I'm not good at. So it's, I don't look at it too much. For me, it's just try to, you know, play well and hopefully help the team win.
I've obviously watched every single game you've played in since you've come up to San Jose, and obviously you were here for a good amount of last year and you've been here all of this year. The run that I see versus 2 years ago versus last year and now this year, it's clearly an improving product. But that's me, the outsider perspective. Does it always feel to you like you are a better hockey player compared to where you were, or are you so focused in the individual game, it's one of those forest trees situation where you can't maybe see it as clearly?
No, I definitely is. I agree with you, and it's something that you notice over time. You know, you stack together a couple of good games and you say, okay, you know, I kind of added this to my game. And then, you know, you might have a little bit of a break where you think about it and you say, you recognize, okay, I kind of am pretty good at that now. And okay, maybe I need a little more work here. So it's something that's, you know, you notice maybe month to month, and then even wider scope year to year, you start to realize, okay, you know, me compared to a year and a half ago, me is a pretty substantially different player. So it's good to see. You know, obviously there's still a lot of areas I want to improve on and places that I can impact the game more. But it's definitely, you know, the goal to continue to get better and help the team win. So it's, I appreciate you saying that. It's something that I try to always improve, and I've definitely seen some improvement both this year and kind of in the year and a half that I've been here.
Great stuff with Hank Thrun. Hopefully we get more from him in the coming days about his health, and hopefully it is good news. Hate to see him out of the lineup. We're all out of time. I'll be back with you tomorrow as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Ottawa. Go time, 4 o'clock, pregame 3:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.